Today I'd like to tell you a story. It's a story that I fell in love with some time ago. And I hope you do also. I don't know that I have the ability to convey the significance or the emotional nature of it, but I'm going to try. Over 100 years ago, on May 19th, 1909, in London, Nicholas Winton was born to German Jewish parents. His parents had moved to England 2 years earlier, in the process changing their family name from Wertheim to Winton and converting from Judaism to Christianity to better fit into their new homeland. Nicholas grew up like a normal kid in his day, going to school, playing sports, and working odd jobs. He went to college, graduated, and he rose quickly in the banking industry, traveling frequently around Europe. Shortly before Christmas in 1938, Winton took a trip to Prague to help a friend who was then working to assist refugees who were fleeing German occupation in the region. Moved by the fear in the air and the stories of brutality of the Nazis, Winton decided to do something. He decided to act. Just a few weeks prior to his trip, the British government had approved a measure to allow the entry of refugees younger than 17 years of age into England from Nazi-occupied territories. And without the cooperation of England, Winton could not have brought the children into the country. Aware of this ruling, Winton set out to assist children from Jewish families to flee the Nazis. Through insurmountable obstacles, including getting permission for these children to pass through Nazi Germany on trains and enter and exit the Netherlands, then take ferries across the English Channel, and then upon arrival being granted refugee status in the UK, the United Kingdom. Once they arrived in the UK, he had to find what he hoped would be temporary homes for all of these children. Sir Nicholas Winton ultimately brought 669 children to England, largely out of what was Czechoslovakia. They were sent as small children on up to young teens, leaving with the promise that they would someday be able to reunite with their families after the war was over. However, almost all the parents and families would perish in the Auschwitz concentration camp, among many others. On the 1st of September, 1939, Winton had organized another train of 250 innocent children, all boarded, to leave Prague. Unfortunately, Germany invaded Poland the same day, marking the start of World War II. The train vanished, rerouted by the Nazis to a concentration camp. Of the children due to leave on that train, only two survived the war. Winton could have saved many more children if Roosevelt and other world leaders would have accepted his appeal to take more. It was a very difficult process and a difficult time. Sadly, he was unable to save more. But for these 669 children, Winton gave them the opportunity at life. Despite the miraculous exit from Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia, these children would not know who saved them until 50 years later. They would, however, go on to grow up in adopted homes. Many went to college, they got married, and had families of their own. And today, they don't know, but by some estimates, these children have between 10 and 20,000 total descendants. It's God's law of multiplication. They are survived today by their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, 3 to 4 generations later. Nicholas Winton's heroic efforts again went unnoticed for half century until 1988. His wife found a detailed scrapbook in their attic containing lists of the children, including their parents' names and the names and addresses of the families that took them in. She set out to find them with the help of a Holocaust researcher. So in February 1988, during an episode of the famous BBC television program entitled That's Life, Winton, at age 79, was invited to be a member of the audience. To his surprise, his scrapbook was shown and his heroic feat was explained. The host of the program then asked whether anybody in the audience owed their lives to Winton, and if so, to stand. Most of the audience rose to their feet in applause and in tears and with hearts full of gratitude. They had found 80 of Winton's children. Of course, they're much older. So I'd like to take a minute and 40 seconds to play the video of the first encounter that all these children who were now grown adults had with their father, so to speak, not their real father.
All the letters. But back here is the list of all the children. This is Vera Diamant, now Vera Gissing. We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton.
Hello. And it was just so wonderful, so terribly, terribly touching.
Can I ask, is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please?
I thought it was a very touching video to see the moment that 50 years later they were reconnected with. I'm not saying he's a savior, but he is a type of a physical, earthly savior. He saved them from the death and destruction. And even with the emotionally restrained British culture, you can see the emotion. Winton died peacefully in his sleep on the morning of July 1st, 2015. He was 106 years old. Perhaps the Lord blessed him with long life as a result of all the children that he saved. You might be asking yourself, why am I telling you this story, especially on a holy day? Well, because the spring holy days, and really all the holy days, are about God's master plan through Christ to eventually save, hopefully, the majority of mankind, beginning first with a select few. Much like these 669, but eventually extending the opportunity to the whole world. Please turn to John 10:10. You all know the scripture, John 10:10. The thief come not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I would like to explore how this scripture relates to the story and to our lives today. First, Hitler and Satan, well, they define the thief. They are and they were thieves. Hitler and the Nazis came to steal the Jews' dignity, their possessions, their homes, to separate families. They even stole the hair on their heads. Hitler's ultimate goal was to kill and destroy the entire Jewish race. And Satan, like Hitler, is also walking to and fro upon the earth as a thief, seeking to destroy God's church, including this very congregation right here. Satan wants to destroy this church by any means necessary. How does he attack the church? He doesn't always have to. He can attack us as individuals. He attacks our attitudes, our sense of justice and mercy, as Kirk Talbot talked about, our marriages, our children, our relationships with each other and with God. The second part of the scripture deals with life. Christ came that we might have life. Sir Nicholas Winton came to Prague. You know, back to the story. He came to Prague that the Jewish children might have life and that they might have it more abundantly in the sanctuary of the United Kingdom, England. To restore a family unit, even if they were in foster homes. To give children a chance, children who would become orphans. You know, Christ also, on a much greater level, came that we may have life. We, this body of believers in this room, this body of disciples, we're called, we're given an opportunity to have eternal life, a blessing, not because of what we did or who we are, just like those children, but because God has had mercy on us. And he's given us a chance right now. And remember, as Dr. Oz spoke recently, lest we be puffed up, God is calling us ahead of others that are simply deceived. But he's not calling us instead of others. We are God's elect. We are not elite. God, through his son's sacrifice, saved us and has kept us from being destroyed by the thief. His sacrifice made possible the potential salvation of all mankind. He died once for you and I. He spared us the penalty of our own sin, extending the hand of grace to change our fate, to offer us a new destination. We are one of the 669 children put on a train, bound for life, gifted an opportunity by no doing of our own. We have been given the chance at eternal life before the millions who will be given a similar opportunity at a later time. And notice I said chance at eternal life. We can have it, or we can lose it, based on our decisions and our walk with God. Christ has given us the opportunity now for eternal life, just as Winton gave those children the chance for a physical life. Abundance is the second part of what Christ offers in John 10. Abundance. Now that we have this incredible opportunity of life, what is our responsibility in it? What does Christ want us to do with that life? Returning to John 10:10, it says that we might have life more abundantly. Let me return to the story for a moment. Of those kids saved, many became quite notable people. Famous mathematicians, poets, filmmakers, a rabbi, and more. They didn't waste their lives even though they were orphans, and many of them went on to work hard and start families of their own. All of them, their work, and their children would not be here without Winton's sacrifice. And it's the same for us today. Without Christ's sacrifice, our life's work would not be here, nor would we be at church today. God wants us to use life, not just to exist, but to live life abundantly right now. Now, let me be clear. I'm not trying to promote the health and wealth gospel that's so popular today. For example, like Joel Osteen. God does not guarantee us good health and riches in this life. But there are many definitions of abundance that have nothing to do with material wealth in our personal lives and our walk with God. So what are we doing with this life to honor God? We don't need to become famous mathematicians, poets, or filmmakers, as some of Winton's children. But essentially, we are called to be disciples. Disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, no matter what our profession is. The details, everything that's involved with being disciples, if you follow God's way, and you live it, you will have abundance in your life. Please turn to Colossians 1, 10 through 12. Colossians 1, verse 10 through 12. It reads, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We should strive to live lives worthy of our calling right now. Being fruitful and abundant in every good work and increasing also in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might. We should be making every effort to be on that train to life that God has granted us access to. Again, we are bound for eternal life if we endure. And in the meantime, we have opportunity to have more abundance right here today in our physical human lives. It's not just all about the kingdom. We have a life to live right now. Personally, for me, abundance includes many things that I don't have the time to go into, but many things, but not limited to being born into the truth for generations, having access to the Holy Spirit, access to a Bible, to understand truth, to have a congregation to come and attend with, absent of any legal persecution, abundance of family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. I feel abundance in my life. I could go on and on. I've never been to Prague, but last fall, my wife and I took a trip to Berlin, where Hitler and the Nazi Party launched their demonic campaign of terror on the civilized world. And I spent the week riding a bicycle and touring World War II and Holocaust museums and memorials, along with many other educational sites, many of which will move you to tears. One evening, I found myself sitting in a cafe in Berlin till 1 o'clock in the morning, talking with a Jewish man named David. David lives in London, but he was in Berlin for work. And I have to say, I really enjoyed the conversation, discussing European history, politics, the state of the world, and to some degree our personal lives. David also happens to be the same age as me and married with 3 children. He's now become a friend of mine, a friendship that would not be possible without Sir Nicholas Winton. You see, David's grandfather was one of those children put on a train in Prague years ago, 80 years ago. His grandfather, just like us, had his life spared from the thief you read of in John 10, that he might have life and have it more abundantly. The question for each of us is, what will we do with the chance given to us, the chance at both physical and eternal life? We should strive to live it abundantly in obedience to our Father who so graciously saved us, like Sir Nicholas Winton did for those select few children.